Welcome to the Akigawa Baptist Church Sermon Podcast. We hope this resource will help you in your walk with Jesus as you grow more and more into His image. For more information about Akigawa Baptist Church, please visit akigawabc.com. Now, enjoy the sermon.
As we have gone through the book of Psalms, we have discovered an amazing story of being told from the hearts of the people who are going through each book of the Psalm, right? Each book has different stories, different parts of a grand and epic story. Book one focuses in on David a little bit, David's faith in God and how his faith in God, even in hopeless situations, grew into confidence in God. Then in book two, where David is the king and Israel is his kingdom, how David's kingship and the kingdom of Israel points to an even greater king and an even greater kingdom that is coming. In book three, the story widens up to the nation of Israel. And because of the many generations that had abandoned God, they had become exiles. And yet, even in their exile, they once again discover the desire to be restored to God and to return to their homeland. Then, in book four, we saw how the children of Israel, in their time of discouragement, learn to look to the past. They're in exile, but they look to the past to see God's faithfulness and God's trustworthiness. And in doing so, they discover that they can look to the future, knowing that God's faithfulness and God's trustworthiness continues to be there for them. And now in book five, we see God's trustworthiness, His faithfulness revealed. God has safely brought them home. And He has restored their kingdom once again. This is the story that we see written in Psalms. And now we come to the last five chapters, the last five Psalms, Psalm 146 to 150, describe the never-ending praise that flows from the hearts of the people as they tell the story of how they are cared for in the new kingdom. Each psalm begins and ends with the phrase, "Praise ye the Lord." Simply put, it's the Hebrew word, hallelujah. Hallelujah. And we looked about this a couple weeks ago. Hallelujah means to praise. Yah is the shortened word for Yahweh. Praise Yahweh. Praise the Lord. And we see this at the beginning and the end. In fact, there was a couple of psalms right in the middle of the psalms that started with the word hallelujah, the praise psalms. These last five ones start and end with the words hallelujah. Each psalm points to different ways that God cares for them in the new kingdom, how He loves them and how He provides for them. So we're going to look at the very first of these last five psalms, Psalm 146. And we're going to see the king's limitless help, the king's help given to those who are in his kingdom that is beyond limit. We're going to start with Psalm 146, verse 1. It says this, "Praise ye the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul." The psalm, like the others, starts with hallelujah. Praise ye the Lord. But then he also does something interesting as he actually speaks to himself, "O my soul. Praise ye the Lord." Not just the general praise the Lord, but now he's talking to himself. My soul, me, I should praise the Lord because my Lord is worthy of my praise. And so he commits himself in verse 2 to praising God for as long as he has breath. Let's look at verse 2. It says this, "While I live, will I praise the Lord. I will sing praises unto my God while I have any being." As long as life is in me, I will praise the Lord because He is worthy of my praise. God has taken care of me. Think about the man who has been in exile on his way home, reaches home, ascends the throne, ascends the hill up to Jerusalem, opens the gates are open, and he walks into his forever home. And he's like, oh, praise God, he has taken care of me. I'm home. My future is secure because I know God will take care of me. His praise doesn't just display confidence for God's trustworthiness now, but it also displays his confidence for his trust in God for the rest of his existence in the new kingdom. I will praise God while I have any being. As long as I exist, I will praise God. This is amazing for this person and for all of us. How much better is it that we are here to be here in this kingdom, cared for and helped by God himself, right? God himself caring for us in his kingdom. How much better is that than in being in any other kingdom built or ruled by man? This is what this psalmist does. He compares the difference between God's kingdom and man's kingdom. He says, verse 3 and 4, verse 3, it says this, put not your trust in princes, nor in the Son of Man, in whom there is no help. Verse 4 says this, his breath goeth forth, he returneth to his earth, in that very day his thoughts perish. See, this is the difference between God's kingdom and man's kingdom. And it's important for us, as we tend to rely on those in authority, we have to recognize that every human leader is no different than anybody else. All human leaders are just like anybody else, sons of Adam. And as sons of Adam, we carry the limitations of that existence. Those in authority are no different. Being sons of Adam means that they have limits. There are aspects of their limitations, and those limitations are revealed in these two verses, in verses 3 and 4. Look real quick at verse 3. Go back to verse 3. Put not your trust in princes. One of the things is their trustworthiness is limited. You have only a limited amount of trustworthiness. See, as sons of Adam, the nature of sin is in all of us, right? The nature of sin is in all of us. You know how you struggle with sin in your heart and you struggle with the things that you may not want to do and yet you do, just like Paul struggles with? The things you know you ought to do, you don't do. So also, as Paul struggled with it, so also we all struggle with it. And so also our leaders struggle with that nature of sin. Your leaders in government are no different. And the more power that is in your hand, the greater the struggle. So remember that your leaders struggle with sin just like you do, and that affects how trustworthy they are going to be. They have limitations in their trustworthiness. But second, their ability to help is limited too. Put not your trust in princes, nor in the Son of Man, in whom there is no help. There is a limit in their helpfulness, right? There's only so much that they can do. Sometimes it's easy for us to expect a lot out of our leaders, right? And we expect them to care for us in all different kinds of ways. But honestly, I think that's too big of a burden to put on them. And the reason is, they're no different than us. They are no different than us. They have limitations in their ability to help. They cannot see into the future, just like you and I can't. There are times that they make wrong decisions, just like you and I do. There are times when they don't know what to do, just like there are times when you and I don't know what to do. Their help is limited. And thirdly, the third aspect of their limited help is found in their time, verse 4. His breath goeth forth, he returneth to his earth. In that very day, his thoughts or his plans perish. At some point, their help will end. At some point, when their life ends, their plans also come to an end. Their plans die with them. And then another person comes to take their place. They literally have no control about what happens after they return to the earth. Just like us. Mom and dad, you can prepare for your children's future. You can do everything you can to save up for them. But it's up to them to know how to do what with the preparations that you have made for them. You can prepare for their future as much as you want to. But it's still in their hands what to do with the preparations you have made for them, right? The same way is true for those who are in leadership over us. Man is limited. Can you see that? There are limitations in any kingdom ruled by man. Compare that with how God rules and the way God rules in his kingdom. There is a limitless help that we have from God. Through the rest of this psalm, we see the difference in God's care versus man's care, and why we can confidently put our trust in God's plan for us and his help for us for eternity. Verse 5 says it this way. Happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God. I love that. Happy is the one who trusts in God. Think about the person who wrote this psalm. Here's an Israelite who goes all the way back to the God of Jacob, the God of Israel, the person for whom his nation was named, the beginning of the nation of Israel, Jacob, Israel, the God of Jacob is also my God. There is no limit to the time that God has in caring for his people. All the way from the beginning of the nation of Israel, all the way to the end of its existence, if there ever is one, God is God over them from the beginning all the way through the end. From the beginning, God's help was already there and has continued unhindered by time from generation to generation to generation. And this is why he can put his hope in God. Looking back to the past, you can see it is never, the help has never stopped. And that gives him confidence to know that in the future, the help will also never stop. And this is why the psalmist says, hallelujah, praise the Lord, because he is worthy of his praise, and he is also worthy of our praise too, because we are part of his kingdom. First, it is his help with limitless time, but also we see his help with limitless power. In the ways that man has limits in his ability to help, God has no limits in his ability and his power to help. Look at verse 6. Verse 6 says this, God, which made heaven and earth and the sea and all that therein is, which keepeth truth forever. This is amazing. The one who made the stars in heaven, the planets of the universe, and happened to put our planet in the perfect position to sustain life comfortably for us. And he creates on this earth the mountains and the seas to perfectly sustain all living things that are on this planet. With the power that he made all of this, the same power he uses to care for his people. God's power and his ability to help is limitless. With the same power of creation, so also that same power he uses to help us in his kingdom. It isn't just his limitless time. It isn't just his limitless power. It is also his limitless righteousness and his limitless mercy. At the end it says, God, which made heaven and earth, the sea and all there that therein is, this same God which keepeth truth forever. Verse 7 continues this, and it says this, verse 7, which executeth judgment for the oppressed, which giveth food to the hungry. The Lord looseth the prisoners. At the end of verse 6, it says, God keeps truth forever. God isn't just limitless in power and time. He's also limitless in righteousness and mercy. In his new kingdom, God will make all things right again. All of the brokenness, all of the suffering of our sinful state will be restored and healed once again. Oh, that's going to be awesome. Our brokenness will be restored. His righteousness and mercy will be full and complete with no limits. There's several ways we see this righteousness and mercy being revealed. One of the ways is how he helps those who are helpless. And this is what we see in verse 7, which executeth judgment for the oppressed. Those who are wrongfully oppressed, those who are oppressed by those who are above them, God executes judgment on those who are wrongfully oppressing those who are oppressed. He also takes care of those who are helpless in how he gives food to the hungry, those who have nothing to eat. When he is restoring his kingdom, he will make sure that they will no longer suffer hunger. The Lord looseth the prisoners. He makes sure that those who are wrongfully imprisoned will be set free. Those who are helpless have the limitless help of God. He also, in verse 8, restores a fallen world. The Lord openeth the eyes of the blind. The Lord raiseth them that are bowed down. The Lord loveth the righteous. Those whose bodies have been broken by sin, in the context of man's brokenness, of how sin not only hurts our soul, but also our bodies, opens the eyes of the blind, raises them who are weighed down because of the oppression, the sin of the fallen world. And also he shows love to those who have been going against the flow. See, in a fallen world, everything goes against the flow of following God. And he loves the righteous, those who are going against the flow to follow after God in a fallen world. He loves the righteous. Verse 9 reminds us that he welcomes in those who were rejected by others. The Lord preserveth the strangers. Those who are in exile, those who are strangers in a foreign land, he preserves them. He becomes their preserver. No one can help them until God is the one who helps them. He relieves the fatherless and the widow. Those who are orphans, those who have lost their dad, or those who have lost their husband, who have no way of sustaining themselves. He relieves them. He gives them strength and comfort. He provides for them. But the way of the wicked, he turneth upside down. He turns to those who would try to hurt the stranger, to those who would try to hurt the fatherless and the widow, to those he turns their own plans against them. And this is how God cares for those who were rejected by others. See, this is how we see God's goodness and God's trustworthiness. And the fact that we can trust in his unlimited time, we can trust in his unlimited power and his ability to help, and we can trust in his unlimited righteousness and mercy. In all of these ways, we see the unfolding of what is to come. You see, the psalmist started by looking back to his past through all the generations to see the unlimited help of God. And now he confidently turns his eyes to the future to see the limitless help of God continuing forever and ever. He closes with this verse, verse 10. He says this, "The Lord shall reign forever. Even thy God, O Zion, unto all generations." From all generations in the past to all generations in the future. And he closes again with hallelujah. Praise ye the Lord. Here's the amazing thing. This psalm and the story of the Psalms is not just his hope. It is also our hope. Our hope is just as sure and just as confident as this psalmist is. And we see this hope brilliantly displayed in 1 Peter chapter 1. read through these verses with me to see how this, how the book of Psalms mirrors our story. It says this, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us, given us new life again unto a living hope. How? By the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Verse 4 says this, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. Verse 5 says this, you who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Boy, is this not our story of the Psalms? Does not the book of Psalms mirror our story? Here we are. We have been given new life because of the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And we have this hope. Even now, while we may be away from our home, we are sojourners in a land that is not ours yet. But one day, God will bring us home through Jesus. We have this living hope right now that we are looking forward to. And that hope is our inheritance, our homeland. That is already ours, but we're waiting for that homeland to be revealed when Christ comes back to call us home. This is Psalms, the whole story of Psalms revealed, mirrored in our lives. All of this is because of Jesus Christ, God's Son. We can look back and remember Jesus' sacrifice for us. And in so doing, we can look ahead in confidence, knowing that his care for us will never end. This is what Jesus tells us to do. He tells us to look back in order to look ahead. He tells us, go back, remember what I have done for you, to remind yourself of what I will do, what I am doing now, and what I will do for you when I come back and call you home. This is what Jesus told us to do before he went to the cross. He said, look back and remember Jesus' sacrifice. By doing so, you can look ahead and walk in confident faith in his limitless care for you. This is what he says in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. He says this, Paul says this, for I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also, he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the new testament, the new covenant in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it. In remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. We look back, being reminded of Jesus' faithfulness and his help for us. And that helps us to look ahead till he comes back. And we see his love and care for us, continuing on limitlessly through the rest of our eternity. And this is what we are going to take time to do right now. We are going to take bread to remember that Jesus was broken to heal our brokenness. We are going to remember that Jesus' blood was shed to cleanse us from our sin. We're going to look back to remember, and in doing so, be reminded anew to look ahead, to set firm our hope of heaven, and to look for his return. Before we do that, let's take time to pray and to thank Jesus for making all of this possible. Let's pray. Jesus, we are reminded once again of your goodness and your graciousness to us. and how you have cared for us. In your creation of us, and then by coming to earth to live the perfect life, something that was impossible for us, and something that we would not have done even if we wanted to, even if we could. We rejected you, and yet you came to us. You died on the cross for us, and you rose again for us to give us victory over sin and the effect of sin, death itself. Through your resurrection, we have been reminded that we have a hope, a living hope in you of what you have provided for us for our future. While we wait for the revealing of that promise, help us now to live and to walk after you and to be reminded that you, the Holy One, have given us the chance to be holy as we walk this earth, as we walk this earth. Help us reveal in our hearts sin that must be repented of. Help us to repent of it. Help us to once again commit our lives to following after you by being reminded that you committed your life to us so that we could follow after you. So as we take this bread and as we take this wine, this grape juice, help us to be reminded of what you have done for us, so that we can once again commit ourselves anew to following after you. In Jesus' name, amen.